So these next little few stories here, I think I've got one, two, three, four of them. They're all kind of interrelated, talking COVID, talking vaccines. And Micah, I got to bring in like a little bit of a local touch to it because, we're always asking for audience comments and input about our shows and what we're talking about and stuff. And I got some today from another Houstonian. I'm not going to name anybody's names. I don't know if that's necessary at this point, but it's just to me, it's like, okay, this is a comment we got to read on the show. We have to read online and let people hear it. So I'm going to pull that up in just a moment. But before we get there, let's start with the big news of the week, which is that the Biden administration announcing that they are going to be doing door-to-door outreach for COVID-19 vaccinations. Here's a clip from Press Secretary Jen Psaki, I think is how you pronounce her name, from the Biden administration talking about it.
Sort of the technology of fire.
Okay. A couple of updates for you all at this top here. After the president is briefed by his COVID-19 response team this afternoon, he will speak to the American people about the strong progress that the country has made in recovery because of its robust vaccination campaign, as well as the importance of every eligible American getting vaccinated, especially as the Delta variant continues to grow among unvaccinated people across the country. By the end of the week, the United States will be nearing 160 million people fully vaccinated, which the president will touch on today as well, which is critically important as fully vaccinated people are protected against the Delta variant. He will also stress how the administration will continue its effort to work with governors, local leaders, and across the public and private sector to get more Americans vaccinated by making vaccines available in more healthcare settings and respond to hotspots. The president will outline five areas his team is focused on to get more Americans vaccinated. One, targeted community.
All right. We heard from her enough, I think. But that's kind of the point there is that they're announcing, because they didn't make their July 4th goal of getting 70% of people vaccinated. I don't even know if I trust the numbers they're saying in the first place, but they're saying they were just below it, just missed it, almost America. But now we got to go door to door. We're going to send out the COVID community corps, what they're calling them in Jersey. We talked about that a couple of weeks ago. Now it's happening on a national level, Micah. I think this could
Can't we just take a D and stop this course? I mean, 67%. Ain't that like a D? Can't we just be done?
Yeah, I don't know, man. I think outside of people's personal opinions about vaccinations or whatever you feel, that it just feels like, I don't know, maybe it's no big deal to some people. They don't mind if, depending on where you live, it might be normal for people to come knock on your door. But I definitely don't think when the government comes to your door, it's usually anything good. And a lot of people, based on what I'm seeing on social media, which might be biased in my circles, right, in my little bubbles, they're like, oh, well, I'm turning on my sprinklers when they come up, or, they're going to be informed about my decisions, which I think is not a bad idea. It doesn't have to be an aggressive thing. If somebody comes to your door and tries to talk to you about vaccines, maybe you should let them know how you feel about those vaccines or about those shots. That might be worth having a conversation about instead of maybe yelling at them, or I don't know. I think things could get a little out of hand for some people just because it's not a good feeling.
Oh boy.
I mean, are you going to be opening up the door if you see it's like, hi, Micah, we're here with the COVID Community Corps. Want to talk to you about vaccines.
I just want to know, do you think that there's anybody out there who doesn't know there's a vaccine for COVID available to them if they wanted it?
Sure that there's people just walking around who haven't seen all the ads and all the celebrities and all the,
enticements
and the $1 million lottery. I'm just sure they've totally never even realized or heard of a COVID vaccine. So they need somebody. Oh my God. If you would have never come door to door, I would not have known about this. Thank you so much, Biden. A+. All right. Well, why won't some people take vaccines, right, Michael? Like, let's talk about this because this is where we're going to shift to. And when I bring in this local Houstonian opinion, you're going to understand why. Last week, we played a clip of Senator Ron Johnson of Wisconsin. We played just a little 5-6 minute segment of his hour and a half press conference that he held, which, by the way, is now on theconsciousresistance.com. I backed it up in case anybody wants to see that. You can go and check that out. Full press conference and hear people in their own words. Yes, Ron Johnson is a Republican. Yes, he's from the state of Wisconsin. You might not like Republicans or Wisconsin, but he's not the one speaking. It's the people that
he's
are there.
A senator.
Whatever reasons you might not like him, and I don't really think I'm a fan of his. I'm sure if I'd look for a moment, I could find something. But he had the courage, or whatever you want to say, to organize this press conference and to shut up and let the people speak for themselves. So it's not him talking for an hour and a half. It's him just saying, hey, I organized this just to get some press. Here's these families. Let them talk to you, right? And that's what happens. And we played that clip last week. And so there are people reporting adverse reactions. There are people paying attention to various studies that are being censored on in the corporate media and in, you know, the mainstream that have concerns. And so that's why they're not in a rush to get this vaccine. It's not because they don't know about it, Mr. Sleepy Biden or Mr. Creepy Biden. It's because they don't want it. I mean, in large cases, I think people are just waiting. And so I'm pulling up a study, an article about a study from our friends at collectiveevolution.com. If you don't like them, go to the study yourself. It's sourced in here. And it says, new study questions the safety of COVID vaccinations and urges governments to take notice. And this is interesting. A new study published in the journal Vaccines by three scientists and medical professionals from Europe has raised concerns about the safety of COVID vaccines, and it's not the first to do so. The study found that there is a, quote, lack of clear benefit for the vaccines, and this study should be a catalyst for, quote, governments to rethink their vaccination policy. The study calculated the number needed to vaccinate, which they call the NNTV, in order to prevent one death. And to do so, they use a large Israeli field study. Using what they call the Adverse Drug Reactions Database of the European Medicine Agency and of the Dutch National Register, the researchers were able to assess the number of cases reporting severe side effects, as well as the cases with fatal side effects as a result of the COVID vaccine. And in the researchers' words, they say that the NETV, which is again the number needed to vaccinate, the NETV is between 200 and 700 to prevent on case of one case of COVID-19 for the mRNA vaccine marketed by Pfizer, while the NNTV to prevent one death is between 9,000 and 50,000, with 16,000 as a point estimate. The number of cases experiencing adverse reactions has been reported to be 700 per 100,000 vaccinations. Currently, we see 16 serious side effects per 100,000 vaccinations, and the number of fatal side effects is 4.11 per 100,000 vaccinations. For three deaths prevented by vaccination, we have to accept two inflicted by the vaccination. This is lack of clear benefit. This lack of clear benefit should cause governments to rethink their vaccination policy. So again, let me read that last sentence. It says that for every three deaths prevented by vaccination, we have to accept two inflicted by vaccination. This is not a statement by Derek Brose or Freethinker Radio or Michael Jackson. This is a statement by these researchers and this study and the journal Vaccines. And I will open that up and show you the actual study yourself. But that's, you know, they go on. There's some more points to be made. I do want to encourage you to read it for yourself. But they continue, we need to accept that around 16 cases will develop severe adverse reactions from COVID vaccines per 100,000 vaccines delivered, and approximately four people will die from the consequences of being vaccinated per 100,000 delivered. So again, those numbers might not be, I can hear people saying like, well, look, if it keeps the majority safe, yeah, there's always side effects of things, et cetera, you know. And again, they reiterate, simply put, as we prevent three deaths by vaccinating, we incur two deaths. So pretty clear terms that they're saying, and this is just based on two databases. One is the Adverse Drug Reactions Database of the European Medicine Agency and the Dutch National Register. So just two databases and parts of the world. That's not, that couldn't be considered conclusive or complete in any way, but it's definitely a bit of insight into this. And then obviously people have been reporting, Micah, through the CDC's VAERS, Vaccine Adverse Events reporting system, up to 4,000 to 5,000, maybe over that, like that have been reported. And these haven't been confirmed, you know, where they follow up, because this is the thing, is they have the system in the US, people report their adverse reactions, but then there's no follow-up. So then the media and the people in government can say, oh, that's not trustworthy. Anybody can report to VAERS. But they have never seen a spike as they are seeing now in the reporting of deaths related to vaccines. When you look at all the years of VAERS reporting, you see this huge jump in the last, you know, 6 months or so. What do you think about them, what those researchers said there, though? I mean, it sounds like, do you think the collectivists are going to say, oh, well, four people dying out of every 100,000, like.
I would be curious to know the greater stats, but I think it goes back to what we were saying last time that, you know, people pushing for these things, even if just one person is hurt, you know, pushing to make things like this mandatory in any sort of way, you know, it's all good. And they want to say how, you know, it's safe, only, like you even mentioned, only so many side effects happen, whatever, you know, they won't, that argument's wanted to be used, you know, until you see those people, until you think of them as human beings, you know. But, you know, this one, they're going to say three are saved for two that are lost. We're saving one person. If it saves one person, So I don't know. I think it's like choosing your poison, because you go from, well, you got a chance of dying from the vaccine, or you've got a chance of dying from this bug, this virus, right? You know, yeah. And what do you want to take your chances with? What do you feel like your body and your history is more equipped with, fighting viruses in this planet or dealing with some newly concocted fast-tracked vaccine? I mean, those are what people are basically being forced to vote. You know, shoot me up with the dangerous chemical, or I'll take my chance on the plague. Like,
yeah, really? Well, I was just looking up this, pulling up the study, Micah, so we could talk about it. And I want to just show like some, a little bit of due diligence on our side, that they're claiming that this study that I just read was retracted within a week or so of the initial, maybe 2 weeks after about a month after it was initially, it was received June 2nd, revised June 19th, accepted on the 21st, published on the 24th, and then it says here, as of July 2nd, a retraction has been issued. And if you scroll through this, you see these letters, for those who are looking, it's got retracted listed over all of it. So I open up this one, and it says, retraction, the safety of COVID vaccines, we should rethink the policy. And they say, the journal retracts the article. Serious concerns were brought to the attention of the publisher regarding misinterpretation of data, leading to incorrect and distorted concerns. The article was evaluated by the editor-in-chief with the support of several editorial board members. They found that the article contains several errors that fundamentally affect the interpretation. And they're going into some of them here. I don't want to spend too much. Well, they're just saying that they misinterpreted the data. They're saying there are several other inaccuracies, one of which is that fatal cases were certified by medical specialists. It should be known that even this false claim does not imply causation. Further, the authors have called the events effects and reactions, which is when that is not established. And until causality is established, they are events that may or may not be caused by exposure to vaccine. So, I mean, this... honestly, like, so maybe for some people, okay, see, I knew that thing's too crazy. It's retracted. I don't buy it. I don't believe it. But I definitely want to do some deeper research on that for my own kind of clarity on where that's at. But I'm not surprised. Definitely sometimes bad studies get published, and they get published in, you know, crap journals that people pay to get published in. That one is not known to be that. It's a bigger journal on vaccines specifically about that. But it's interesting to me that, like I said at first, it got accepted, then reviewed, then published. And then took a couple of weeks, probably, of people seeing it out there. And then somebody complained. And now all of a sudden the editor's like, whoops, this one didn't meet our standards, although we reviewed it and published it. So interesting nonetheless.
That's really worth noting. And that's the thing about a print medium, right? You can still obtain the article and do the research. I do think that that's the thing with these things. Over time, they're not going to be able to hide whatever's going to be the truth about it.
Yeah, I think so.
They might try to explain it away.
They could try to explain it away. Well, here's another one, just so people can know that, you know, we're not just, you know, pulling things out of nowhere. This one was published June 29th. Heart inflammation after COVID-19 shots higher than expected in study of U.S. military. This is published by Reuters. It says members of the U.S. military who are vaccinated against COVID showed higher than expected rates of heart inflammation, although the condition was still extremely rare, according to a study released. The study found that 23 previously healthy males with an average age of 25 complained of chest pain within 4 days of receiving the shot. The incident rate was higher than some previous estimates would have anticipated. All the patients who at the time of the study's publication had recovered or were recovering from myocarditis and inflammation of the heart muscle, which is the thing that children have been dying from, teenagers with the AstraZeneca shot. So they had all received that, the Pfizer or the BioNTech, BioNTech or Moderna vaccine shots, experimental treatments, whatever you want to call them. And last week, just a couple weeks ago, some of you might not know this, I know we talked about it, that the CDC added a warning to the literature that accompanies the mRNA vaccines to now say that there is a rare risk, they claim, of heart inflammation, but they didn't have that warning before, but now it's there. And this study was published in JAMA Cardiology Medical Journal and said 19 of the patients were current military members who had received their second dose. So that's another example that there are people who maybe have heart conditions that are concerned about that, and they don't want to just jump into the situation. There are people who are checking out the VAERS reporting database and seeing the deaths. There are people who watched the Senator Ron Johnson last week, Micah, and heard that testimony, and they've got concerns, and they're not.
The second dose, it's a doozy, it seems like, you know. I mean, a number of these things, it sounded like that second dose. Like, maybe the first one, you just kind of believe. On the second one, you know, you're already committed. You're coming back. I don't know if there's stuff in your body already from the first one. You know, I don't know nothing about this stuff. I don't even pretend to. But it does seem like out of the number of these cases, it's been the second dose that people have been affected by.
Yeah, and there have been reports, I think, that we've talked to some of the ladies in the press conference that I'm referencing as well. Like, we're talking about that. Like, the woman that her daughter, I can't remember her name off the top of my head right now, but the daughter, 12-year-old, who was injured during her getting her shots, she was somebody who, like, okay, I got the first shot and had some kind of intense reactions and then went back for the second one, and it just compounded things. But I've also talked to people who went to get their first shot, and they had an adverse reaction that scared them a bit. Like, you know, not just, oh, like they say, you'll have some redness and some swelling on your arm, but other things that were enough for them to say, forget that, I'm not going back for the second one. So, you know, Micah, we covered this. Like, Biden administration is going to go door to door now. They're saying we don't know what that looks like exactly yet. But that was after we talked about how the state of New Jersey was already announcing a similar program. Seems like that's going to be one of the next steps, going door to door, trying to find who's vaccinated, who's not vaccinated. We talked about heart inflammation in a military study, as well as in teenagers with the AstraZeneca shots. This other reports of vaccine, you know, adverse reactions. And then here's, I'm showing on screen.
They got religious people that go door to door, right? They got religious people. If y'all used to dealing with those people, maybe we can apply some of those skill sets to these people. You know, it's really the same thing. They're trying to persuade you to believe their way, you know.
Believe their cult. Yeah, I think so. The COVID cult is one. But so this right here, what it was showing again is a clip. Like, these are people for an hour, not the senator, whatever you feel about him, but these women testifying. And this mother right here testifying about how her daughter and her were affected by the COVID shots and all the things that we just went over, Micah. And then now I'm showing on screen for those who are looking on screen. And if not, I'll just say it for those who are watching. We got a local Houstonian guy. I'm not going to say his name, but you see it, Micah. I think you probably see it on screen. And he says, this is his response to me posting literally just a video. It doesn't say anything. It just says, on June 28th, Senator Ron Johnson held a press conference featuring families speaking about adverse reactions from the COVID shots. Simple, which is all it is. And he says, anti-vaxxers are a-holes. The anti-vaxxers are an adverse reaction. They define reactionary. And, you know, I said to this person, like, is this literally your response upon hearing people share these stories? I mean, because I've seen this person communicate online in a hyper-partisan way. So I'm not too surprised, but it's just like, okay, this is beyond partisanship. This isn't like a Republican convention, you know. This is just like people, testifying. And here's another comment from the same person. I think it's great that you amplify the most reactionary voices in government to make your point, because it lets everyone know what a tool you are. And this is video, again, isn't amplifying the – I don't know if Senator Ron Johnson is a reactionary voice or anything about him much, but this isn't, again, like I said, it's not about him. I think he speaks for the first 2 minutes of the press conference, and then the rest he hands over to the people who are dealing with these adverse reactions. But I just, you know, after everything we just went over, everything we've covered on the show, Micah, and like you said, you don't have to be a scientist or a doctor. Neither of us are, of course. But when people just dismiss things like that, just like, oh, you're an anti-vaxxer, of course. Where did that come from? Like, we're talking about a study with myocarditis increases in military members and talking about people who are having adverse reactions to, and, you know, somebody studying the numbers in Europe and finding, you know, just, yeah. And that's reactionary. That's.
Well, once you've defined your virtue by taking this product into your body, you know, twice, you know, you've received the message of the cult into your body twice there. It's really easy to think that, you know, you've got something better than all those other unwashed masses of benefited people, or whatever you want to say.
The other thing it makes me think of, so this will be my last article here on COVID, and we're going to talk some economic news. I know we got some interesting financial stuff to cover, and then I've got a couple of surveillance stories I want to hit before we get out of here. And then, you know, maybe if we have time, maybe we'll save it for the next show. I wanted to talk about the Patriot Act Part 2 that some people might not be aware of from all the way back in 2003 and maybe where we're headed. But we'll see what we get into today. Of course, you're listening to Freethinker Radio. We do this every Wednesday. You can find us on theconsciousresistance.com. The archive's there. You can find us on thehoustonfreethinkers.com. We broadcast live on Wednesdays, and then it is broadcast on Monday afternoons at 2 p.m. on 90.1 KPFT at kpft.org. So this story, it's just a short one. It's from The Economist, and they got some snarkiness in there about the way they describe people. But I thought this was interesting. It says, the anti-lockdown movement is still going strong. This is published in the latest Economist magazine, and it's specifically the British edition. So it's kind of specific to that, but I think it's interesting. It says, quote, it has united the anarchist left and the anti-establishment right. And they're just talking about how, you know, back in the day you had the Occupy movement, you've had these different types of movements, and now these supposed anti-pandemic opponents, anti-lockdown opponents are made up of conspiracy theorists, people against Bill Gates, but also people who are like against the disenfranchisement of people that has happened under lockdowns. And just, yeah, so it just goes into a few examples of how left and right and center and maybe people beyond descriptor could be finding ways to work together, which is, again, like we were saying at the beginning of the show, Micah, 10 years ago, it seemed like there was more unity, more opportunity for that. I don't see that so much now, at least in the U.S., but it's interesting to hear this perspective. And I know that the gentleman I was just showing that had the anti-vaxxers or a-holes comment, he's definitely somebody's on the radical left, I'm sure he would describe himself as. And to me, I see opportunities where somebody like that, or, you know, just kind of using him as a stand-in for anybody that's in a different position than I am, that we could probably find somewhere to work together when it comes to these issues. But if you just have a reaction to somebody and say, hey, well, you're talking about things that people say aren't good, well, you must be this crazy thing, so I can't work with you.
But it has made things more a tool and an a-hole. That's what he had. He didn't have an argument about it. He didn't have, look, but I read this and I believe this source is more credible, you know? Or you say what you will, Derek, or you're supporting the senator. So, you know, he could at least have something to say rather than people that I clump in this big, broad-reaching term, which we've talked about, that whole phrase, anti-vaxxer, being a fundamentalist term used by fundamentalist, you know, people, and just, you know, resorting to calling names. He didn't provide any argument. And I think that says a lot right there.
Yeah, I think that is important. And that's what Freethinker Radio is about. I mean, honestly, I wish and I hope that person that we were just showing, or anybody who feels critical about what we're talking about that is watching the show or listening to this, would want to leave a comment, would want to hop in. Look, if you're around, we could, you know, bring you on the show. We could do live questions. Let's have a discussion, because that's what Freethinker Radio is about. Critical thinking, individual thinking. You know, it's what the show's been about for 10 years now and will continue to be about. So